if this is a deal you're looking at investing in, and from the beginning, it's being signed off as a lease and could be even a triple net lease to one large manufacturer, that would be a low maintenance cost project versus one of the ones we talked about that's more like outdoor mini storage.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. Today, we are talking about outdoor industrial storage, or OIS is the abbreviation you may see out there. This is kind of a newer thing that you hear about as a listing, but it's been around for a long time. And this is just basically a place that's outside to store stuff. Now, how fancy this is can vary a lot. I've seen leased outdoor industrial storage that was completely unimproved land to places that have all kinds of fence security cameras and the whole works. So let's dig into this a little bit more. Outdoor industrial storage has emerged as this pivotal asset class that has unique advantages and opportunities for investors and for businesses. What we're looking at here, we're going to look at some of the benefits, some of the risks, what's good about it, and just try and help you understand a little bit more about what's going on in this space. These are spaces that can be used for storage of industrial goods, materials, vehicles. These often cater to places like the construction industry, transportation and logistics, or manufacturing. Sometimes it's for short-term or long-term storage. And understanding where this goes can vary a lot. I recently saw an industrial building that had several things in it over the years and hadn't been thriving, and somebody bought it and they turned it into an indoor-outdoor storage. And I don't think they put a whole lot of money in it, and they just found a few different tenants, filled up the inside, and then there was a lot of big road construction and laying fiber optic cables in the area. And they came along and gave them a place to store all that construction stuff for a temporary period of time. When I saw that place, I was like, wow, somebody really knew what they were doing when they put that together. So sometimes somebody might buy a piece of land because they know there's an industrial project that can use this outdoor storage and they're shopping, and that's kind of the tenant in tow. Or it could be you see a place of land that has a strategic location that you're looking to put something like this. Or some of these are already there and it's an investment opportunity. So what are some of the strategic advantages? So cost efficiency. Obviously, this requires lower capital investment, lower operational costs compared to traditional warehousing because you don't have as much stuff to build. Flexibility and scalability. Again, it's a space that how much you lease can increase and decrease. So it gives a leaser more flexibility in how much space they're leasing. It can also, from the building standpoint, can be leased out as a smaller amount. And then if you find new tenants or bigger tenants, can be built out at a relatively low cost, depending on the site. If you have a well-drained site, it may just require adding additional fencing, or depending on what's being stored and how much security, may not even require that much work to put into it. Some of the other sites might be a great location, but require more work. I mean, basically developing the whole site where you could be redoing the grade, putting in fill, developing out security and all these things. So the scalability can vary a lot depending on what it's being used for. The accessibility and convenience, these are typically located close to places that are easy to get to, but maybe close to a project. This could be major transportation hubs or large manufacturing facilities could be places where there's a lot of heavy machinery that needs to be stored for a long-term or a short-term period of time. What it can be used for, it can be lots of different things. And as you drive around now, you may see some of these. And sometimes it'll be the same stuff for a long period of time. And other places you may see, again, varying tenants coming in and out. They may be storing large construction equipment during a construction project, or it could be industrial supplies or just pallets. So lots of different things can be stored outside. And that's why we're going over this today. Is it's an asset class that a lot of people don't really know about. And maybe they've seen the OIS abbreviation and didn't know what that was. So what are some of the challenges and considerations? A big one can be regulatory and zoning restrictions. Some cities may not want this in certain places or different counties. The tax base may vary depending on what you've got there, and that they may want that developed out and may not want it to become industrial storage. Environmental concerns, depending on what's being stored there, and because it's outside, what washes off of it and where does that go could be a potential pitfall. Weather and security risks. Again, when it's sitting outside and people can see it, you don't have to build a warehouse to put it in, but it's also there where people can see it. So there's some potential security risks and potential weather risks from storms, hail, snowstorms that may need stuff cleaned off, depending where you're at, hurricanes, and then operational management. So the operation of an outdoor storage facility could be very simple in that you've got a lot and you've got one tenant you're leasing it to, and there's really nothing to do to manage it. Or it could be a much more complex operation. You see some of these now where it's a multi-tenant, and what they do is they put the whole fence up, they put in the gates, they put in the cameras, and then part of the great thing about it for tenants is you can adjust how much space they need by just moving fences around, and it may be pre-built out where the fences just get restrung in different places, or they may move some posts around. But in that case where you have more tenants and more going on, there's more operations involved. So this can be quite variable on an investment and something to kind of look at. And in the projections, if you're looking at an investment, is how much work will need to be done. And does this fit the projections they're giving you? If they're talking about all these multiple spaces and flexibility, yet the expenses look more like somebody just renting an empty field, there's a question for concern. So what's the outlook going forward? This is likely to be a continued growing asset class and one that you'll see more developed out and actually marketed, where I think historically it's been more of a thing you didn't hear as much about and somebody had a property and they leased it out, rather than it being a developed outdoor storage space. So what should we be thinking about as an investor? If you're looking at something like this, it sounds like a great thing. Is really, what's their plan and who are they going to lease it to? So who are some of the people who might be leasing this type of space? It would be construction and landscaping companies, because they have need storage for heavy equipment, heavy machinery, bulk building materials. And this provides an ample space without having to warehouse it. Transportation logistics firms. These are vehicles and containers. You see a lot of these near ports, place to park trucks, place to stack containers. They may be doing logistics out that trucks get dropped off or trailers get dropped off. Another truck going somewhere else picks it up. So a lot of moving back and forth. Manufacturing and industrial enterprises. They need space for raw storage, for finished products, for heavy equipment. And again, in this case, it may be part of a factory or it may be something separate. And this would be a question if this is a deal you're looking at investing in. And from the beginning, it's being signed off as a lease and could be even a triple net lease to one large manufacturer. That would be a low maintenance cost project versus one of the ones we talked about that's more like outdoor mini storage. Energy and utility companies, I talked about that one right at the opening of the show. If there's a utility project going in, there'll be storage for pipes, for cables, for machinery, for vehicles, for all the things that go into a utility construction project. Agriculture and farming operations. I've seen more of this now where historically, I grew up on a small farm, and there would be the old farm lot or farm yard out back where stuff was stored. And it was typically some of the less agriculturally productive land, but it was kind of every farm in its own place. And what I've seen more recently is you see some of the bigger, and that we'd have to call them factory farms or more commercialized, where it's not a family farm, are looking at a lot of efficiencies of operation where they may lease some of the equipment they use or hire stuff out. Or maybe they've got stuff that they use on a semi-regular basis, but need stored somewhere else and have decided that the space on the farm can be used more efficiently and be looking for storage to put somewhere else. Just like any other type of big commercial operation, it may not all be stored right on the farm. Events and entertainment. I've seen some spaces like this that they use it for both. Could be that part of the year they've got industrial equipment stored there for seasonal use, and then the summertime comes, that stuff goes away, goes out in the field, goes out and is being used on construction projects. And then they have events there like the farmers market or concerts in this open space. Governments have started to lease some of this space too, rather than owning their storage. They may find it more convenient and more cost effective to lease out just the space they need rather than have to owning the space. Again, what are the key things to look at in one of these if you're looking at it as an investment? Some of these can be multi-site investments. If somebody's developing multiple outdoor storage sites, and what this gives is to a tenant or to a customer, there could be flexibility of location to where we can sign one contract and store our stuff at multiple facilities that all fit within their business parameters. And again, back to why would companies want to do this? Big one is reducing capital expenditure. I hear this question from docs a lot, like, well, why would a company want to lease a warehouse? Why don't they own it? And I think we think about this a lot as doctors, because a lot of doctors have found some success, and maybe their first real estate investment has been investing in their own office. And so they think, well, why would anybody want to rent when they could own? And there are different situations, and it depends what you're trying to do. For a lot of businesses, the idea is it's capital preservation. And by owning real estate, if that real estate brings a 10% return or a 15% return, something that we may feel is pretty good for an investment, for a lot of businesses, they get much bigger return on their capital than 10 to 15%. They may get 30% because this is the money they bring in and they build things with and that they utilize to run the business. And so actually freeing up that capital to buy machinery, to run a bigger operation, to have more inventory on hand, may be a much better use of that capital than owning real estate. And that's where sometimes you'll see deals. This is off a little bit from our outdoor industrial storage, a lease back where somebody says, you know what, I would like to take my money out of my building and use it in my business. So I'm going to sell the building to somebody and lease it back from them. So it's all set right from the start. In that case, you're buying a building and you've already got a tenant. But you may see some of this with outdoor storage too, or it's the same idea of keeping your capital working in the business versus owning real estate. Operational efficiency, this could be the business wants to store stuff outside free of room in the warehouse. This could be to make it easier for moving stuff around the warehouse, or maybe they've decided the inside space is going to be used for manufacturing and stuff that used to be stored inside can be stored outside and be more efficient from a risk mitigation standpoint. You've got less money sunk into an outdoor space than an indoor space. There again, if you get a change in the market and things go against you, you don't have as much money tied into it. So it's a cheaper way to get there. So when we look at this outdoor industrial storage, what are the things we should be looking at going forward? Big things are going to be, where are they? Because this is probably the biggest factor affecting this. Areas that are near major transportation hubs. This would be like the classic one right now is Charlotte. Same thing for warehouse. If there's a lot of commercial activity, a lot of transportation, a lot of logistics, is probably a good place for this to be going on. Emerging industrial markets, if there's a lot of growth in manufacturing, there may be more need to store stuff outside because the indoor infrastructure hasn't been built yet. Or even if it's just a growing area and there's a lot of construction, there's going to be more need for storing supplies and equipment, and outside is one of the places it may need to go. What are places to consider higher risk or maybe looking away from? any place that there's already a lot of outdoor industrial storage. This is one of these emerging investment trends that some areas may already have a lot of this, or someplace that raw land cost is very high. So it may be more efficient to store things stacked in a warehouse. That would be places like major cities, southern Florida, where land is now at a super premium. Other areas where there's a lot of land, there's going to be less demand, so you're going to draw less in rent. So I guess if you've got a space for outdoor industrial storage and you're in South Florida, probably going to lease really well, might be better served to get higher returns off of a warehouse. But if you're someplace like suburbs of Phoenix, where there's not a land, a lot of desert out there where stuff can be stored, might not draw the same rents. Every project's a little different. So everyone should be looked at and considered on its own. What's funny is I was doing a little research for this, and some of the generic stuff seemed really concerned about areas prone to natural disasters like the Gulf Coast, where at the same time, a lot of the commercial activity that's going on in the places where I've seen more of this being built, and even the argument of better to store stuff outside in a hurricane type of area, because then if a hurricane comes, you move your equipment out of the path of the storm if your equipment is mobile, and most stuff that's stored outside is. And then the hurricane comes through and you can clean up and move stuff back onto the lot, but you didn't lose a warehouse. So the idea of storm zones could actually make it a better option versus worse. But if you're investing passively and you're talking to a developer, these are all good questions to ask. And why we did this today. So one more thing to think about in your investing opportunities, outdoor industrial storage. If you have any questions or want to talk about this, please reach out. Love to talk to you. Thank you for joining us today here on Surgeon Syndicate. I hope this show has added some value to you. If you have any questions, please reach out, schedule a call. Let's talk. You can reach out through the website from the podcast or from Fortress Capital. And let's start this journey, because I know I talk to a lot of doctors out there who've been thinking about this, and maybe they own an apartment building, or maybe they just own a duplex and they're like, well, I'd like to invest in some of this stuff, but they haven't pulled the trigger. The first step is actually having a conversation about it. And just because you make a phone call doesn't mean you have to invest. So talk to sponsors, talk to people who have investments out there. You can even talk to brokers, or if you see a place for sale, call the whoever's got the listing, call the number. When you start having those conversations is where it's going to start to become more meaningful and start to make sense. So if this is something you've considered, you're considering commercial real estate, make a promise to yourself you'll take an action this week and start the ball rolling. Thank you again for joining us here on Surgeon Syndicate, and we'll see you next time. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. And number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money, I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.